Fendo Radio is on now.
So how are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing great. A little early, but no problem. I think this is going to be a good show today.
Yes, yes. And we also have another contributor to the site, Michael Fletcher. How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Great, great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Michael, since you haven't been on the podcast?
Well, lifelong Nintendo fan. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm playing Pokemon right now.
Absolutely.
And That's about it. It's a rainy Saturday here, and I'm looking forward to podcasting.
Great, great. And then we also have a reader of the site, and he's actually I believe you do some YouTube videos, and your name is Thomas. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Thomas?
What is there to talk about myself? I'm pretty much also a video game fan. Like you said, I also have a YouTube channel. It's basically Game & Digest 21. I basically do Let's Plays and reviews. So that's pretty much it.
Great. Well, all right. Well, then, if you guys are ready, let's roll right into the news. What do you say?
All right.
Great.
Sounds
so,
good.
Actually, this first news topic comes from Essel. He wrote about a new patent that was just revealed for Nintendo about a new stylus. I believe it has, like, rumble added to it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Essel?
Yeah, actually, I just posted a story about this yesterday, and it looks like the new patent will allow you to use the camera on the front and the back of the phone to basically become either like a Kinect type sensor or basically you don't have to touch a screen any longer to control the characters on the screen or manipulate objects or so on from there. Really cool portion of this is that on the new stylus that will be kind of used with it, there's a marker or a sticker on there that will show where the stylus is within the 3D background of the camera. And you can move objects forward and backward, and there is a vibration feedback on it. So if I think in the patent photo that they or drawings that they showed, they had like a little cat on the screen, and the cat was purring, and the stylus was vibrating.
Oh, that's cool.
A really cool thing, though, is that you don't have to use the stylus. You can put the marker, say, on your finger or whatever you want to use, and it will sense that. The other cool thing is that it actually uses the back-facing camera, too, not just the front-facing camera. So, if you're playing augmented reality, you can maybe manipulate some things in the background there, and it looks like it's going to have a lot of really cool different uses. It still amazes me all the new things they come out with for the 3DS every day.
Right, that's pretty neat. I don't know if we'll see anything like this at E3, but hopefully Nintendo actually makes use of this, because I know they put out a lot of patents a lot of the times, and then some of the things don't ever come to fruition. But Michael, what do you think about this? Do you think that this could have some interesting gameplay functionality to it?
Well, yeah. Obviously, my mind flies straight to Pokemon again.
Right.
I think the possibilities there are huge. You can interact with your Pokemon for the first time. It's mm-hmm. And with augmented reality, I think Pokemon has a real future in that arena. And hopefully they do something with this. It's really exciting technology.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that one of the cool things that they can do with it is obviously on the patent screen, the stylus is being used on the touch screen, and the top screen. And obviously the top screen isn't touch, so that'd be neat to be able to have both screens be able to be interactive, you know? I mean, not just the bottom one. Do you have anything to add to the discussion here, Thomas? Have you checked out the patent at all?
I've glimpsed at it, and I think it's really interesting to see that Nintendo's taking this a step further with the 3DS. I mean, with the Wii U coming out and all that stuff, I thought that 3DS would be the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's glad to see that they're trying to like improve upon it. But I hope it's not one of those like Nintendo failures, like the Virtual Virtual Boy.
Right.
Or other, you know, things they tried out. But I think they have high hopes for this.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty neat. I just really hope that it's not just some kind of rumor, kind of like the new Star Fox Cross Metroid that was just recently debunked. The same person that came out with the rumor of it, the Paul Gale Network, this guy, he just recently last week, he came back and said, well, all right, I contacted my sources, and turns out this isn't going to happen. Apparently that I guess it was just a pitch that someone at Nintendo had pitched to whoever it was, and then they decided not to do it for one reason or another. But I am kind of excited that it was just a rumor, because I want to see Retro do something kind of new. I mean, obviously a Metroid Star Fox collaboration would be new, but I don't know if that's quite what I want. Do you have anything, Scott? Did you see this rumor debunk?
Yeah, I did see that, and you know, I've still seen a few articles pop up here and there of on other sites, you know, talking about this, and, mm-hmm. and it seems like the first 2-3 comments, everyone is fake, debunked, or you know, not going to happen. And you know, I'm still one that's probably not going to be wasn't too excited about the mashup there, but it would still. I mean, I think if it did come out, I think I'd still be pretty interested just to see how they meshed it all together. But I'm kind of glad that it is debunked. And you know, if it got enough positive feedback, who knows? I mean, maybe in the future we'll see something from them if enough fans try to jump on board. But I'm pretty happy that it's debunked.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see Retro do – honestly, I'd like to see them do a Zelda or something, because there was rumors that they have – or not rumors, but Miyamoto actually said that I don't know, just kind of in passing that he'd like to see Retro do Zelda, that they've earned it with all the Metroid titles that they've done. So that'd be kind of neat if they were working on a new Zelda for Wii U, or even just a Star Fox or another Metroid Prime or whatever is in line in the cards for that. So I don't know. I want to see something from Retro, and I can't wait to see what they're doing here at E3.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Did you guys see the rumor? Were you guys following that at all, Michael or Thomas?
Oh yeah, I'm actually a little disappointed that it's debunked.
Oh really? You were one of the ones that
looking forward
this.
To it.
Okay.
I thought there was real potential there to have them take place in the same universe, because it's spaces wide and vast, mm-hmm. and they could both be there. And what if they were to meet in space?
Mm-hmm.
And it just would have been interesting. However, now that it is debunked, I would be stoked if Retro came out and said they were making a Star Fox game.
Right.
I think they could take it back to its roots, because they did it with Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
And I think they could really do Star Fox injustice.
Right, yeah. I honestly think that Retro is probably the best studio that Nintendo has at this moment. I mean, even above R&D 1 and 2, I mean, no disrespect to Miyamoto and his crew, but they just haven't done anything quite like Retro has done in the last couple of years. You look at Donkey Kong Country Returns, you look at all Metroid Prime games. I mean, they just do fantastic work.
Metroid Prime is in a whole other league, I thought. Just the story, the atmosphere, everything.
Right. Yeah. No. It's just fantastic. And if they can do what they did for Donkey Kong Country Returns for a new Star Fox, because let's just be honest. I mean, there hasn't been a good Star Fox since Star Fox 64. Well, really. I mean, in my opinion.
Basically.
So, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you been following this rumor at all, Thomas?
To be honest, this is I've heard about it, but I haven't like followed it much, but. To be honest, I was on the fence about it, because having Star Fox and Metroid crossing over, having like a mashup, is like kind of interesting concept.
Right.
Like how would they interact? Like how would they react to each other, and how would the gameplay, you know, combine? You have like Star Fox, you know, having like a shooter type thing, like, you know, like Top Gun, like, and you have Metroid, which is like mostly. Well, it used to be a side-scroller, now it's like first-person shooter.
Right.
So, yeah, combining those two gameplays would be interesting.
Right, yeah, I kind of agree with you. It'd be kind of strange, because one has basically been an on-rails shooter, I guess, unless you count Star Fox Adventure, which was on the ground. But I don't know how – I mean, if anybody were to do it right, I guess Retro would be able to do it right. I just personally don't see how they would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what Retro has up in the cards. We know that there is a 100 new Wii titles in development. Apparently, I mean, I don't know if that's one of the ones that Retro is working on. But actually, one of our newest contributors to the site, Marcus Lai, I think is his last name. He put up an article a couple of days ago about one of the, I guess, a fan of. Just a Nintendo fan that goes by the name AD3 Supa posted a question to Nintendo, and they actually responded to him saying that there's over 100 new titles in development for the Wii between Nintendo and then licensed partners. So that's kind of interesting considering that Wii U comes out this year. So I don't know. What do you think about that, Thomas? Do you think that that Wii is going to be still relevant once Wii U comes out? Or
I feel like the Wii could be like the PS2 when the PS3 came out. When the first time the PS3 came out, they were still making PS2's games. Mm-hmm. And I think like maybe in a year or so, maybe the Wii will like fall out the picture, and
right.
The Wii U will be like the new top Nintendo console.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I see it.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure how Wii can survive. Considering it's barely on life support right now, but I guess if Nintendo is going to keep making games and third parties are going to keep making games, people will still buy them. Especially knowing that Wii U is going to be backwards compatible with Wii. So, have you been keeping up with this at all, Scott? Did you see this article?
Yeah, I did, and I think it's actually a fairly smart move. Like Thomas said, what they did with the PS2 versus PS3, the great thing here is that the Wii U is supposed to be backwards compatible. So anything that they bring out for the Wii, when people end up purchasing the Wii U, they can still play the games on the new system or on the older system. Either one's fine. My big worry about, forgetting the old system when a new one is released is that usually during the first couple months at least, when a new system comes out, it's very hard to get. I mean, the stock levels were very low, mm-hmm. Especially if the rumor is true and it's being released right after Thanksgiving, like Black Friday, it's going to be almost impossible to get one before the end of the year, unless they really, really ramp up the stock levels out there. So instead of leaving the Wii gamers in the dust and only focusing on the Wii U, I think that's actually a fairly good idea here in the long run. I think it'd be awesome, I doubt it's going to happen, but if on the same disc or whatever media they use, if they could have a game that works for both systems.
Oh, that'd be neat.
An HD version for the Wii U and maybe a standard version for the Wii. I doubt it's going to happen, but I would love to see something like that with future systems and so on. For people to upgrade, but I think it's a great idea. It still keeps the old system relevant for a short period of time while the stock levels even out and so on. Plus, if the price is a little bit higher for the Wii U, I'm sorry, I think that might be a little bit of a roadblock for people to purchase that new device also.
Right. Yeah. No. I think you're kind of got something on there. I mean, imagine if Nintendo were to release a Wii U and a Wii combo pack, kind of like the movie industry does with Blu-rays, DVD, and then like the ultraviolet or whatever they call the digital copy. I mean, that'd be cool. I mean, I'd be willing to pay $10 more if I can get all three versions of it or two versions of it even. I mean, do you have anything about that, Michael? Do you think that Wii could stay relevant with Wii U on the horizon or?
Oh, yeah. I don't see a problem with that. Look at the DS and 3DS. 3DS has been out how long now? And they're still cranking out DS games. Kirby Mass Attack and just first party. Kirby Mass Attack, the Pokemon games.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that comes to mind.
Yeah,
but the point is they're still making them. Oh, yeah. And I was going to say something. I forget.
Sorry, I derailed you. your train. I derailed your train of thought. But no, I think that... Well, you guys were touching on the PS2 and how long it stayed relevant, and I just actually looked it up. They released a Madden for PS2 last year, so I mean PS2 is still cranking out the games. I mean that's crazy to me. And if I mean I know that Wii has sold so many units. I mean why can't they keep making games for people that grandma, grandpa that still have a console? They still want to buy games for grandkids when they come over and play the Wii or whatever. I mean, I see that happening as well. I just hope that Nintendo follows through on this commitment and keeps releasing games for it. And one way they can stay relevant now with their new consoles is by releasing DLC for their new games. And Michael actually wrote up a great article on Infendo telling us about how DLC should be, how WayForward released a free DLC for one of their games. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that, Michael?
Well, I was waiting a while for the Batman Arkham City DLC,
mm-hmm.
and that got me thinking, well, gee, didn't a week ago, WayForward actually released an update which could be considered downloadable content because they added levels.
Right.
And it was completely free. And I thought, well, that's a really nice thing to do. It adds about the same amount of game time as a paid DLC, and they went and improved the game that already existed as well. So it's a patch and an update and DLC.
Mm-hmm. And this was for Mighty Switch Force, am I right?
Yes.
Excellent.
Great. A wonderful game. Good platformer.
Right, yeah. And I don't know too many other developers that really do release free DLC. I know Valve and Blizzard do on occasion, but that's usually on the PC. But on any consoles, I really can't think of anybody that's given anything away for free. I mean, Scott, do you have any thoughts on DLC in general? Do you buy DLC or...
You know, I don't buy a lot of DLC unless it's really, really relevant to the game. You know, one of the biggest, I guess, complaints I have about DLC is when you get, like, exclusives for pre-orders. For example, Walmart might give you, you know, a specific sword for, you know, Final Fantasy, whereas, you know, Best Buy might give you a certain outfit or so on. You know, those kind of gimmick DLCs, you know, I'm not so up on those because it kind of gives... Possibly, if you know a weapon that Walmart gives you is better or whatnot, it kind of gives somebody an unfair advantage there. What I do like about DLC though is just as you know Michael pointed out with Batman Arkham City, you know, it's basically giving you a brand new game or a gaming experience and really adding on to the game. If it's just a costume or a weapon or a vehicle add-on. I'm not so big on that one. You know, I can usually get by with what's on the game there. But if they're going to really expand the game in one way or another and really add depth to the story, you know, I'm definitely all for that. And that's the kind of downloadable content that I would really go for, something that is going to just give you more for your money.
Right, yeah, I agree. And my thoughts on DLC is I'm all for it also. I mean, I've paid for DLC in the past also, but I think that it has to be timed right because there's been a bunch of times. One of the examples is actually Batman Arkham City. I love that game, and I played the heck out of it. But now that this DLC's come out, I've kind of already moved past that. That game's, you know, it's not that old. It's only like 3 or 4 months away that it came out. I've already kind of moved past that. I'm on to different and you know shinier games, I guess you could say. But that I think you have to, if you're going to be releasing DLC, you kind of have to time it right, and it has to be the right content for the right price. So have you seen anything like this, Thomas? Do you buy DLC for any of your other consoles or?
Well, I totally agree with Scott. I think the costume pack and like you know other stuff are like kind of useless. But if it has to do with the story. I might look into it, but I think one good example for me I can personally relate is if anybody has played Marvel vs. Capcom 3,
mm-hmm.
and then you notice how like 6 months later they release Ultimate Marvel.
Right.
I was really into that because they actually released new characters, which instead of like using downloadable content like you know every few weeks, they actually put it in one whole game, which I think was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that. Like, if it's, like, just a costume pack or, you know, new map, that's something I'm not interested
in. Right.
But if it's something about, like, maybe a new character or new levels or maybe a whole new story, then, yeah, I'm totally up for it.
That's interesting that you brought up Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 because I know that a lot of the community for that game was kind of not in an uproar, but they were kind of dissatisfied with that game coming out so soon after the original, just because it was going to be a full retail game when a lot of them had already purchased the main game. What do you think that maybe Capcom should have released that? As a DLC and as a standalone disc, or
I think they were planning on doing a downloadable content, but I think because of the earthquake or in tsunami that happened back in March of last year,
mm-hmm.
they had to make it a standalone standalone game, but I think like in certain characters should have been like downloadable content. Like I'm always up for like Mega Man to be in it because I'm one of those people who wants Mega Man to be in the game.
Right.
But as for it being a standalone game, I think it should have been, but I think it should have been released later because, like you said, game companies need to work on timing.
Right.
You said earlier, and this is like a huge pretty much, it like shocked everyone because everybody just got the game like recently, and they're still playing it.
Right.
And all
right.
of a sudden, this new one came out, so they need to spend $40 for a new game or deal with what they have right now. And yeah, I was one of those people who were like, you know, kind of pissed that all of Capcom released this new game when I just got the regular one.
Yeah, and it wasn't even a year after the original game was. I believe it was like maybe 8 months or so. So that's kind of crazy.
It was.
So what? So Thomas, what downloadable content would you pay for from Nintendo? Like, would you pay for if Smash Brothers came out with new characters or what? I mean, what do you think? What would you pay for?
Well, for character, it depends on the character. If if it's a character I enjoy, like back then yes, I would totally get it. But for me, it all depends on my taste and like how it will affect the game in general. So yeah.
So Scott, what do you think? Would you pay for anything from Nintendo, or how do you feel about that?
You know, I would. If it really expanded the game, you know, like we were just talking about there. If you're going to bring out a new game, you know, within a year of the original game's launch. I almost think instead of creating the new game, you know, create some new levels, maybe create some new characters, bring it out as downloadable content, and I'd be more than willing to pay for something like that rather than spend an extra $40, $50, $60 on a brand new game so soon afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a perfect example. You know, it gives people time to play it, start to get bored with it, and you bring out new levels, new characters, and, you know, it kind of brings the excitement back to the game again. Especially for a game like, Super Smash Brothers or, you know, even a Mario Kart, you know, if you brought some new levels and some new characters, because, you know, those games are just timeless. But if it was something just simple, you know, if I had to, you know, if there was a new ultimate weapon for a certain game, you know, maybe Zelda got a brand new sword, you know, I don't think I would pay for that. I would be much more willing to pay for a brand new level or a brand new quest in order to earn that sword rather than just plop down, you know, $10, for example, on it and not really get any reason for actually getting the item. I'm all for new levels, new quests, just because I guess with downloadable content, if it's going to be an individual item or an individual outfit or weapon or whatnot, I'd rather there be some sort of story behind it. If it's that great that you should purchase it, make it even better and make me earn it by an extra level or quest so that I can, you know, feel good about getting it instead of just getting the item and skipping right to that portion.
Right, right. So, Michael, do you have any thoughts? Would you pay for any downloadable content from Nintendo, or what do you think about this?
Well, I don't have a big problem with DLC. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay. But with Nintendo, as far as Nintendo is concerned, I think it's a bit of a dangerous road.
Mm-hmm.
Up till this point, Nintendo games have always been, I consider them masterpieces. They're released and they're done.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's one package. It's a work of art. It's right there. And you start diving into DLC, and it kind of, I think it's going to take away some of the magic of the Nintendo game.
Right.
If they start nitpicking and say, well, we're going to give you this weapon and new characters and everything, and we're going to charge you for them,
mm-hmm.
that's going to bother me. I don't have a problem with maybe a free Mario level every couple months or so. We're just here's a new level.
Right.
And enjoy your level. You already paid for the game. And
right,
I think
right.
they were saying with the new Animal Crossing that they were going to have something like DLC, but it's going to be free.
Mm-hmm.
So, something along those lines, that it's not going to cost any money. I think they were actually quoted as saying that they are going to release new stuff, new content, but it's going to be totally free because you've already paid for the price of admission.
Right, and I think you're kind of leading into something there that needs to be discussed because it is a dangerous road with DLC. I mean, you look at Capcom with Tekken Cross, I think it's Tekken Cross Street Fighter. Yeah, there we go. Street Fighter Cross Tekken, and then all of that content was actually already on the disc, and the same thing with the recently released Dragon Dogma. All the DLC that they've already planned is on the disc, and it's like, so what am I paying for here? You guys have already created this content. It's already been made. So why do I have to pay an additional $10 to just unlock it from the disc? I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I think that alone, you know, that's what I think is wrong with some downloadable content. I mean, if they're going to put it on the disc and just make it unlockable by paying additional money, that kind of puts a bad taste in the fans' mouth, and you know, maybe not for the game itself, but as the company in general. You know, I think that with a scenario like that, that's definitely not the way to go. I mean, if it's going to be downloadable content, it should be true downloadable content, something that's not on the client disk that you have to actually store on the hard drive itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think Michael brought up a good point there. You know, if with Nintendo and, you know, especially with their classic characters, if for example Mario, if there's new Mario Brothers levels, or maybe, you know, they upgrade the Fireball, or you know, or whatever they happen to do with Mario. I think Nintendo alone, I think they're going to have a harder time selling the downloadable content than maybe a third-party gamer out there, you know, as like Capcom, for example, or Namco Bandai, or whoever out there. Because Nintendo's always been, like you said, they're, you know, you get the game, you love it, you play it, mm-hmm. you play it over again, you know, 5-6 years later, and it's still the same game as it was before, and it's still great and still classic. But some of the third-party games out there, we've seen it with Xbox, we've seen it with PlayStation, where, you know, they constantly try to improve because they don't necessarily have their own games, per se. They rely on a lot of the third parties out there. So I think with Nintendo-branded games, those games themselves, they really – I don't think you can really sell too much extra content from them. But some of the third parties might get away with it, but I think it's going to be a fine line. I mean, the price is definitely going to be a huge, huge factor there. You know, they I don't know if they can, you know, sell you $10-$20 worth of downloadable content when Nintendo, if they do it, is giving you some free stuff. So, you know, it's a fine line.
Right, yeah. I think there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. I mean, like, let's say Nintendo for the 3DS, the newest new Super Mario Brothers game that just got announced, what if they released it as a eShop download for, I don't know, $10 or so, and then every month they can release, like, 5 more worlds or something like that for an additional $5 or something like that, and then, you know, just keep people trickling in, and then, you know, I mean, that'd be a good revenue stream for them if they can, you know, they've already got the engine made, so they can just keep creating levels, and if people are going to buy them, then perhaps that's the one way to do it. But then, I don't know, a wrong way to do it is if you're going to charge a full retail price for the game and there's only 5 worlds in it, and you've already got those other worlds already made, basically. Like, if you've got, like, 10 worlds of content and you just release it, you put it on the cartridge and just have an unlock fee. I mean, I don't think Nintendo would ever do that, but, you know, there's right and wrong ways of doing DLC, I think.
I think, exactly. Yeah, I
totally agree.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that what they said about the whole Animal Crossing, that they're sticking the principle. It's the principle of the matter. And I hope, I have faith that they're going to stick to that. I just hope I'm not being naive.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Nintendo has never really done DLC to my knowledge. I mean, I don't know if they've I really can't think of any game that's used it in the past. Can you guys think of anything that they've released with downloadable content?
No, I don't think there's ever been anything.
Nope.
I mean,
nope.
I think, you know, even like the Mario Kart patch was pretty new for them. So I think that any patches are downloadable, I think, is completely new territory.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully Nintendo has some crack team of great DLC experts at the headquarters that are going to do it right. I guess Animal Crossing will probably be their first test if they do something like that. But like you said, if they start releasing it for free, then hey, I'm all for that. That's just free content, you know?
I'm glad WayForward kind of led, you know, they led the show with this free DLC. Like, mm-hmm. Hey guys, we'll do it for free.
Yeah, right.
At least the first people to do it didn't charge anything.
Right, and that's on the 3DS. You know, I mean, that's kind of, I mean, that's on a handheld. I don't know if even the PSP had downloadable content. So, and you know, one of the newer 3DS games that just got announced is Castlevania: Lord of Shadows, Mirrors of Fate. And I don't know if there's anything about if there's any plans for DLC on this one, but I'm actually quite excited for this game. Did you guys play Lords of Shadows on Xbox 360, PS3, or?
I did not.
I wish I did, but no money.
I understand. Well, I'll kind of give a little rundown to it. It didn't really feel like a Castlevania game to me, honestly, because Dracula wasn't even in it. But it did have a lot of tropes of this of the franchise. Like there was a lot of exploration, and there was a lot of I don't know if you all ever played Shadow of the Colossus or even the Uncharted series, but there was a lot of exploration just like those games. So I really dug it. It was really cool. It had a God of War type gameplay, the combo system and whatnot. So I'm kind of excited to see what Konami's going to bring to the 3DS with this new Castlevania title. Are you guys excited about this? Are you guys going to pick it up, or what do you guys think?
I think I actually am pretty excited about it. At first, I wasn't, because I think, as I said in the last episode, I'm more of a Simon Belmont fan, so I think, going backwards, I'm not so keen on them switching the main character in future games. But, you know, the more and more I look at it, I actually am getting quite a bit more excited about it. You know, the gameplay looks to be pretty decent. You know, the story, overall, I think the game itself, you know, could have a pretty good feedback overall.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see. I mean, I think I definitely will pick it up and play it. But I think that in the back of my mind, though, I'm still going to be wanting to, or at least imagining that it's Simon Belmont and, you know, not I believe it's Gabriel in this game still.
Right, so. Gabriel, and then I guess Trevor Belmont is supposed to be making a return also, so.
Ah, yeah, I forgot about that. So that would definitely be a huge plus here. But I hope they do bring back at least bring a Dracula character back, if not Dracula himself.
Yeah, apparently this is supposed to be like an origin story for Dracula, because I'm not going to give away the ending of the last game in case anybody that's listening hasn't played it yet. But they kind of hint towards that at the end of Lords of Shadows of the original game. So that's kind of cool. And apparently this is going to be Dracula's going to be making his return, which is always good. That's a huge plus. So I don't know. I'm more excited about, to be honest with you, is the gameplay elements that they're going to be implementing. It looks like they're going to be using the cameras to great effect, using them as like mirrors. And obviously the 3DS has the 3D capability, so I'm excited to see what they do with that. Are you keeping up with this at all, Michael? Are you going to pick it up when it comes out?
I've never been much of a Castlevania fan. I never played them. I have nothing against it. I just never played them. I haven't really been following this one.
Right.
You say that the previous game played a lot like Shadow of the Colossus, Uncharted, that kind of deal?
Yeah, well, it kind of had a good mix of it, because there was a couple of gameplay elements where you would like climb up huge bosses, kind of like Shadow of the Colossus, and you would have to, you know, find the weak spots and then attack them that way. But then in the God of War sense, that's how the combat was. Like there was a lot of combo based things, and then the whip acted a lot like the chain blade from God of War. So had a good mesh.
That's cool. I have to say, if the game was more of a 2D platformer, I might be more interested.
Yeah, and but see, that's kind of how I feel too. I like 2D, my Castlevania in 2D, but you know, we'll see what Konami can do with this one. Thomas, are you keeping up with this one at all?
I kind of am, because even though I don't have a 3DS, when I do have a 3DS, this is one of the games I want to get, because I'm kind of a Castlevania fan. I have played the 2D games, and I think the 2D 2D side scrollers are like what made Castlevania great. I mean, right. The exploration, like even though it's like 3D exploration, but the puzzles and Dracula itself. I mean, having Dracula is like one of the key aspects of Castlevania. But having this new gameplay is like also a good way to go, since you have this technology to use, and it's good to like, you know, explore your technology and see where you can go, and I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, when I do get a 3DS, Castlevania would be one of the games I can get.
Right. So that's interesting that you said you don't have a 3DS. Are you just holding off for a price drop or for like a redesign, or what's holding you back from getting one?
A little bit of a price drop and getting more money.
Okay, I understand. that's a problem for us all at some points. I agree. Well, another 3DS game to keep your eyes on, if you're interested in games like this, dungeon crawlers kind of like Diablo, is Heroes of Ruin. And just recently, actually, they just announced that there was a delay in that game. I guess it's going to be coming out in July as opposed to let me pull up the article here. Yeah, they did delay it until July 17th, so it was supposed to be coming out at the end of June. So that's kind of a little bit of a bummer, but I'm still excited for this game regardless. It looks like it's going to be very Diablo-esque. It's going to have drop-in, drop-out online multiplayer, so that's really exciting. Are any of you guys keeping up with this game?
I honestly haven't been, but I will now.
Oh, you haven't heard of Heroes of Ruin?
I've heard of it. I haven't been following it.
Oh, okay, I understand.
Although, I'm interested, though, in the whole Diablo-esque gameplay. And the drop-in, drop-out, that's new. I haven't heard of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the chance to play it last year at E3, and it was rough around the edges, but, I mean, you can still see where it was shining, where the good parts were shining through. I mean, anytime you pick up an item, it's not just, like, a generic item. It actually has a detailed model. And so, like, you pick up a new belt, and it's going to look different than the old belt you were wearing. You pick up a new helm, and it's going to, you know, look different than the new helm that you were wearing on your character. So that's really cool. I think that's really important for games of the Diablo class. And it's going to have what they told me. It's going to have online multiplayer. You can drop into anybody's game. It's going to have voice chat. I mean, it's going to have the whole shebang. So that's really cool.
I'm reading here. It's saying Spot Pass is also going to, offer daily challenges for up to a year after release.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that'll keep the game relevant, too. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I like loot grabbing games. I'm actually playing a little Diablo 3 myself, although my laptop isn't quite up to snuff. I decided to give it a download and play it on the lowest settings possible, but I'm loving it. I just love the Diablo type gameplay. Scott, are you keeping up with Heroes of Ruin? Are you excited for this one at all?
I actually am. I mean, it's going to make use of a lot of the 3DS features and you know the voice chat feature, you know, drop in, drop out. I think that those are going to be huge. And you know, with it being a Diablo like game, I think that could bring a new class of gamers to the 3DS. You know, that maybe were, you know, PC gamers, maybe get them excited about you know, the handheld gaming system also. You know, I'm pretty excited about it all in general. I love games where you pick up an item and. Like you said, with the belt example, where it actually changes the character. It doesn't make it so generic. I can remember back to some of the original Final Fantasies where, you know, the graphics were pretty horrible on those. Actually, they were great at the time, but compared to now, they're not so great. But
right.
You get a new sword, and it actually, you know, changes your character. I mean, you can see that they have a new sword. It's not so generic. And ever since then, whenever you can pick up a new item and actually customize your character with it, I love that kind of addition.
Yeah, that attention to detail is huge. I mean, there's a lot of games, I can't think of any that come to mind right now, but like just RPGs or dungeon crawlers where you pick up a new sword and all it does is give you better stats and your character looks like he's using the same exact sword as the last time. And that's, you know, that's kind of a bummer, but at the same time, when developers like Endspace really pay attention to what's going on in their games, what their gamers want, if they're going to delay it, then fine. That's fine by me. It's only a couple. It's not even a month, so I'm willing to wait that time to get it a little bit more polished, you know?
Exactly, and I hope they do take the time, and whatever the reason for the delay is, I hope they take a look back at some of the items that they wish they would have done a little bit better, and I hope they work a little bit to improve those.
Right. So, Thomas, is this one of the games that would get you excited to buy a 3DS, or have you kept up with this game at all?
To be honest, this is like the first time I'm hearing it, but looking at the articles about it right now, it looks interesting. I mean, the gameplay looks fun. It's made by Square Enix, so that has potential.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's going to be on my list of games I might consider to get.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Square Enix always has put their best foot forward, and I know that they're working real closely with the developer Endspace to make this one of the better titles that comes out on the 3DS. I've been talking with some of the PR people over at Square, and they're more excited about this than a lot of the games that are coming out on the bigger consoles, like, you know, even Tomb Raider and all those other ones. So I can't wait. I hope that this has huge potential if it's done right. So this is definitely one that I will be picking up here in July. So yeah, I mean that's about it for the mail or for the news, folks. I guess we can get on to what we've been playing on our personal time. So Thomas, you want to start us off? Have you been playing any games as of late?
Recently, I got Dragon's Dogma, which has pretty much taken most of my time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. I mean, it's Skyrim-like, but it's from Capcom. So, and the great thing about it, it's you get to customize your own character the way you want to be. I mean, I made my character look like me, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like flaws to it, like the pawn system is pretty interesting, but like the voice actors could be a little better.
Right.
But the gameplay is fun. The story is a little confusing, but I think the Capcom mostly focused on gameplay since there's so much to do, and you can log in like probably an hour, not an hour, 100 hours in that game doing whatever you want. And the interesting thing is they do a day-night system where nighttime is totally different from daytime because it has like that Resident Evil feeling because you don't know what's coming get you.
Right.
And it's like a survival horror that part, which just makes it more interesting to play with. So, yeah. Dragon's Dogma. Get it.
Yeah, I'm actually playing that game myself. It's pretty neat. And I think that the way that the multiplayer has been set up is pretty interesting just because like you said, with the pawns, you can get, I don't know, just random people or even friends from your friend list to kind of come and help you out in your game. And then when they leave, you can send them back with some, I don't know, some random item or whatever. You can gift them. Although all the items that I've received from my characters have been like rotten meat or like rotten fish or something, because I guess nobody wants to give me any cool items, so that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I got rock last time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a really cool game. It's got its flaws, but it's got a lot of cool, interesting gameplay elements. So yeah, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that you've been playing that game. And was it you that was saying that you were playing Pokemon also, or was that Thomas? I mean, whatever, was that Michael?
That was
Michael.
Me.
Yeah, so Michael, I know you, obviously you've been playing a little bit of Pokemon, so what else have you been playing lately? Or tell us about Pokemon.
I don't even know if I can count Pokemon. I just sit there and I run back and forth hatching eggs. So.
Yeah.
That's what I do when I'm just sitting around. For games, I'm playing Batman Arkham City. The DLC got me re-immersed into that world, and pretty grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and tie up all my loose ends while experiencing something new. And Mario Kart, and I restarted Mario Galaxy, the first one, just for kicks.
That's a great game. It's a great game to restart too.
Oh yeah. I just recently got in Galaxy 2 the 242nd star,
uh-huh.
And that star.
I tell you, I know. I still haven't gotten that one. I was trying and trying and trying, and I had to put it down. And I haven't picked it back up since then.
It's like the Boomerang Brothers. They just, oh, I no words, just anger.
Well, that's great. I haven't actually even thought about Mario Galaxy in a while, and maybe I'll have to go pick up Mario Galaxy 2, try and get that last star. Ugh, that last star.
Yes, do. It feels good.
So, Scott, have you played anything interesting since the last time we talked?
You know, I haven't had a lot of time with the holiday weekend and in a small work week, and of course quite a bit busy during the work week since it was only a 4-day week there. But I was able to get about 3-4 hours on Final Fantasy III. Still working on that to get some levels up on there before I finish the game. Want to try to do is get as high levels as possible on there. Hopefully get some gaming today, hopefully a little bit more Final Fantasy III, or over the weekend too.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully work on a little bit of Aqua's story on Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. Hopefully get a little bit of that in. But I think my biggest gaming project for this weekend is resetting up all my my gaming systems. We recently moved my daughter from her room to my stepson's old room, so we have an empty room now that we're going to put exercise equipment in, making it kind of a gaming room also.
Oh, neat.
So I'm going to try to get all my systems displayed. Recently was able to acquire actually an old Atari 2600 with about 150 games.
Wow.
Let's make sure they work.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hopefully going to get that working. Actually got a GameCube also recently, as well as a just those two systems with some games. So actually, I'm sorry, there's also a Sega Master System, which is probably one of my least favorite systems out there. But, you know, why not? I mean, might as well add to the gaming systems there. So hopefully get that, and maybe in a future article I'll sneak a picture in of and brag a little bit about them. But
you definitely need to post your gaming setup. That sounds really interesting with all those systems hooked up. I just am wondering how you're gonna get them all hooked up at the same time. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know, that one I haven't figured out yet. I'm guessing that I'll probably have to unplug a few, plug a few in whenever I want to play them. But I do have a few splitters. I think they're 8 in, 1 outs, so I can hopefully piggyback those off each other. And you know, I've got myself and my two kids here at home, so I'm sure that all of us trying to get on the gaming systems at once is probably gonna be a little bit of a fight sometimes. But I've got one flat screen that will be going in that room for probably you know, the main system that we play, and then the retro systems I've got actually in a closet a couple old, like 19-inch old TVs. So depending upon the amount of room that I actually have, I might be thinking a little bit too much into this. But if I have enough room, I might have a couple of the games hooked up to the Master System on one of the 19 inches and the Atari on one of the 19 inches. So we'll see how it works out in the end. But I have pretty big goals for it. We'll just see how it works out.
Right. Yeah, I think you have to have the older ones hooked up to the CRT. I don't know how good it would look on a newer flat screen television, just because of that's just not what they were made for, you know.
Exactly. I think the Atari would probably be the worst on the new flat screen.
Oh yeah, I wonder if it would even hook up. How do those ones connect? Is it like an RF switch type of thing? I can't even remember what they're called anymore. Like that hooks up into like the coax or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. The Atari actually has the little box that has the two prongs for the antenna on it. So I'd actually go to Radio Shack and get a little adapter that hooks into the coaxial cable. So haven't tried to hook it up on the flat screen. I'm not even sure if it will work on there. So
yeah,
the old 19 inches it should be fine on. But I would love to see it on the main screen. Maybe play Pong on the I think that one's a 37 inch flat screen I have in there. So
right.
That would be pretty interesting.
Well, great. Well, I don't have anything that interesting to talk about. I've just been playing a couple of games. I played. I finally finished The Last Story, and let me tell you, that game was really rewarding to finally finish up. I liked the ending a lot. So, once that game comes out here in the States, I really recommend everybody needs to pick that up, even if you want to import it. I mean, that's now. I was just looking at like PlayAsia.com, and the import prices are pretty low at this time. So, yeah, that game is really good. I recommend it to everybody. I'll have my review up once it gets a little bit closer to release date. But actually, my most of my time has been spent with Mario Tennis Open, and that game is I like it a lot. I know it's been getting mixed reviews, but I think it's really great. The way that the online is so just quick and easy to drop in and get a game, and then just you can turn your system off or close it is just fantastic. The matchmaking is just really great on it. So have you guys played Mario Tennis Open at all? Or
I played Mario Tennis.
Yeah, just like on the N64?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good one too, actually. That game is fantastic. I remember just playing exclusively with Waluigi just because his reach was so ridiculous. So yeah, that's all I've been playing. Mario Tennis has been eating up most of my time. I wish I could say that I've been playing more. Just Dragon's Dogma a little bit, but mostly Mario Tennis for me. So yeah, I guess we can slide right into the reader mail. And unfortunately, we've only gotten one reader mail email, but the Hitori Ace was the one to send it to us, and he was actually kind enough to send us a 5-part email. So I guess we'll just start right into that. So, Scott, you want to read the first question for us?
Yeah, absolutely. The first question is, I've argued this point before, but why does Nintendo seem, or why does everyone seem, to want a capacitive multi-touch for the Nintablet? The Wii U controller and Nintablet is my name for it.
So, what do you think, Scott? Do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I actually would be excited to see the multi-touch for it. You know, working in the cell phone industry in the past, you know, one of the biggest complaints, for example, with the old Windows mobile phone, you know, Windows Mobile 6.5 and below, was that it didn't have that multi-touch like the iPhones did and so on, or like the Androids have. And they finally worked that into the system. And I don't think you realize how much you actually don't utilize, or how much you utilize that feature when you go from one device that does have it and one device that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it starts out with the multi-touch, I don't know if that's even, you know, something that has to happen. But I think in the future it does. And, you know, it could be, for example, like a great way for it to actually work would be like if you're playing a game where you're a sniper. You know, the multi-touch would allow you to, with just your fingers, to hone in on your target.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit better than, say, like with a classic controller by maybe tapping a specific button or whatnot. I think it would really, really help out in instances like that. And there's probably other instances, too, where maybe if you're if you have to zoom in on, like, maybe a certain, you know, area, like, you know, a grassy area to see, like, a shiny object that might be in there. You know, I think it could really, really work. I don't think it's necessary, but I think that it would really, really enhance the gameplay.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you, because there's so many features that we just don't even think about now in this iPhone age that we live in. I mean, pinch to zoom, you can use that, like, when you're a sniper, for example. You just kind of, I don't know, pinch the screen if you're looking through a sniper scope on the Wii U tablet, or if they decide to add like virtual buttons on the screen, you'll be able to touch more than one of them at the same time. I mean, there's just endless uses for the multi-touch. I mean, I don't know. I kind of think that Nintendo is being a little I don't know the right word that I want to use, because I don't want to make anybody angry, but they're just being narrow-sighted in this. That it'd probably add a little bit of money to the price of the tablet, to the price of the console, but I really think that this is something that they should do, or that they should upgrade to when if they decide to release new Nintendo tablets in the future. So Michael, do you have any thoughts on multi-touch and the tablet?
This is the first time hearing about it being adapted onto the Wii U tablet. It's an interesting idea. I think you could certainly use it in a lot of the first-party games. Maybe incorporate it into Mario puzzles or hit various places on the tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it going to have a stylus? I forget.
It is, yes.
It is going to have a stylus. Okay. I was thinking if it didn't have a stylus and they were going to make you use your hands, which hasn't happened, it's always been with a stylus, then the multi-touch would be a necessity. But since they're including the stylus, I think they'll do just fine with the one touch.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's gonna work just fine. I think it's gonna have its great uses for it. But I just think that it would be more beneficial to be able to have the ability to have the multi-touch, you know?
So yeah, I guess I agree. I do agree with that. If why not just go all the way, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thomas, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think Nintendo's trying to, like, try something new, and Nintendo's always, you know, trying something new, and they're always the company that, you know, starts something new. Like, for example, the Wii starts the whole motion capturing, mm-hmm. and then suddenly Xbox uses Kinect, and then PlayStation starts using the PlayStation Move.
Right.
So I think using the multi-touch, I think eventually other companies would try to, like, you know, improve upon it, or, you know, try to copy it. So I think this might be a new thing for the video game industry.
Oh yeah, I mean, there hasn't been another time when the console is shipped with a second screen, so that's pretty cool. I mean, Nintendo kind of tried it with the Game Boy Advance connectivity back in the GameCube era, and to mixed results. There were some games that really used it really well, like the Four Swords Adventures and Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, but overall, I think that the barrier of entry was a little too high back then. So I think that there's going to be some good possibilities on this. So yeah, we'll see what Nintendo has in plan for the Wii U controller. So I guess we'll find out next week. So Michael, you want to read the second question for us?
Sure. Second question reads: I would love to hear your guys' E3 predictions, Zelda, Wii U footage, new Zelda 3DS, Smash Brothers, etc. So, what do we think is going to come out at E3?
Well, my predictions, my biggest prediction, I would have to say, is probably just that Nintendo's going to have some kind of exclusive third-party partnership that nobody's even thought about. Be it with Capcom, be it with Konami, maybe even EA. Just some kind of exclusive game that takes full advantage of the Wii U controller and all the concepts or all of the, you know, interesting, unique aspects of the system. So that's what I would hope for, I guess. That's what I'm predicting. So I don't know what it's going to be. I guess we'll have to wait for all the press conferences next week, but that's what I would predict. Scott, do you have any predictions? Or Michael, go ahead. I guess you were about to give us some predictions.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Scott. That's okay. You know, I can wait.
I'm actually not sure what to expect this E3. I mean, I don't know if I really have any real predictions. I mean, I think that maybe I'm just paying more attention to it this year, but there's just been so many rumors leading up to this E3 that, you know, I really have no idea what to expect. You know, I think my biggest prediction or my biggest hope is – or you know, I just can't wait for them to actually squash some of the rumors, either confirm or you know, devoke them. I mean, the fact that you know, finding out what the Wii U is going to be all about, if it's going to be called the Wii U, if it's going to be, you know, going to do this or do that. I think that's my biggest thing there. And of course, you know, I can't wait to see some of the new games that are out there that are going to be coming out and so on. But you know, as far as predictions, I don't know if I really even have any other than, you know, just hope that we finally get these rumors past us.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm tired of – I actually wrote an article about this that some of the readers weren't so happy about, but just like saying, come on, guys, E3 is a week away. Let's just wait for Nintendo to do what they do and tell us straight from the horse's mouth what's going to happen with the Wii U, 3DS in the future. So we can wait a week. We don't even have to wait a week anymore. It's just a couple of days away, so – So yeah, Michael, do you have any predictions or any thoughts on E3 in general? Or,
well, I think there's a few definites we can probably look forward to. I think we're gonna get Zelda 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a rumor. Have they been confirmed?
No confirmation as of yet.
Just rumors and images. I think we can count on something along those lines, though. There's gonna be a new Zelda for the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
What I really hope that if they're going to start unveiling Wii U games, a friend of mine brought this up the other night, and I totally agree, Pokemon Snap. I think that...
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Can you imagine the possibilities with the Wii U tablet, holding it up to your face like a camera and have it sync? You could do augmented reality. You could do all kinds of things.
Oh, that would be so awesome. I didn't even think about Pokemon Snap. That'd be cool. And that... I don't know. I don't think Nintendo would do it, but imagine if it was like just a packing game. It just came in for free and everybody, you know, just to get people excited about the console, just to get the people that are new to the idea to understand what the Wii U is all about.
Right. I think I'd be happy even if they did like include Wii, like the little Wii Sports thing that they did with the Wii launch. It was really just to show you what the motion controls are all about. Mm-hmm. We'll have like a little Pokemon Snap tech demo just to show what this system can do and what's coming down the road. Like, you've bought it, here's what it can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that a lot of the games that they showed last year, like Chase Me and Battle Me, and there was Shield Pose, I think that's going to be the Wii Sports package that they include in the system. That's what I would predict. But I would hope that they would just include it on the system and not like a standalone disc, just to kind of get people excited about what you can download from the Nintendo store. Maybe you would have to have people connect to the Nintendo store for the first time, and everybody gets that download for free.
That's a good point. Yeah, have it available right on the system. Kind of get away from the disc, which they're already trying to do with New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be available as a full retail game, or you can just download it from the eShop, and that's really cool.
Yeah. How are you going to get it?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to download it. I mean, I want my Mario with me all the time. I mean, I don't want to have to carry the cartridge if I just want to, you know, play a little bit of Mario on the bus or on the subway or something like that, and I don't have the cartridge with me. That would bum me out, you know?
I hear you.
Thomas, do you have any E3 predictions?
I think the one thing, this might be a really stretch, but I think hopefully maybe they might unveil more details about Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, well, I just read an article that Scott wrote a few days ago about Final Fantasy 13 being versus 13. I'm sorry, being renamed to Final Fantasy 15, and hopefully maybe maybe by E3 they explain more details about it. I mean, it could be I think it's a stretch, but I don't know. But I think there's gonna be more gameplay trailers for games that are coming up in the fall, like maybe Assassin's Creed 3 or Resident Evil 6 or maybe Tekken Tag 2. Tekken Tag Tournament 2. So yeah, I'm looking forward to those gameplay trailers and maybe more information about that Super Smash Brawl like game for the PlayStation. I forget what it's called. The
PlayStation All Stars.
All Stars. Thank you. Yeah. I'm actually interested about that. See how more details about it and how they will what they're gonna do with it and maybe reveal more characters perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's great. Yeah, the that same lines with Smash Brothers. I think we can kind of, well, me, I don't think we're going to really see anything Smash Brothers this E3 just because they just finished up the Kid Icarus Uprising, and I can't remember the developer's name. I'm going to get flamed on this, but I know that he was saying that that's what his sole focus is on, and that game just came out this year, so I don't know how much they've really done with Smash Brothers at this point, so I don't know if we're going to see much about that on 3DS or Wii U, so I would also say that that's one of my predictions as well. So yeah, Thomas, you want to read the third question for us?
Sure. It seems the rumor mill is working overtime again. Do you think that there would be a new 3DS model announced? I think maybe go bigger. I mean, bigger is better.
Yeah, kind of like a DSi XL version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's the only possibility. Maybe improve the 3DS, the 3D-ness, if possible.
Yeah, so the dead zone isn't so big.
Yeah. Widen that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be awesome. I would totally purchase one of those. Even if it didn't have that second analog stick. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure how necessary that is. But that would be really needed to get a bigger, lovelier top screen to just enjoy my games on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Tom or Michael?
Let's see. I think it's still a little too soon for the 3DS to get a new model. I think it's coming. I don't think it's going to come this E3, or I don't think it's going to happen for a little while. Watch, I'll probably be wrong. And they'll announce it, 3DS Lite. That would be cool, but I'm still enjoying my 3DS.
Right.
It's getting broken in now. It's all broke. It's happy. Mm-hmm. It's happy.
Yeah.
I don't want to retire it just yet. I just got the Zelda Collector's Edition one.
And that one's beautiful.
It is, and I don't want to put it away yet.
Right.
And they just released the purple one too. So I think original model still has a lot of life in it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I'm not sure that this is going to be the E3 for a redesign. Typically, Nintendo hasn't revealed their redesigned units at the E3 press conference. You look back to the DS Lite that was announced just basically on the Nintendo's Japanese website, and then you can even go as far to the GBASP. That one wasn't revealed at an E3, so I don't think that this is going to be Nintendo's focus. I think they're going to focus on Wii U mainly at this press conference, and then the 3DS games as opposed to a new 3DS model.
True. Yep.
Do you have any thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, I don't really think that there will be a new model announced. There might be, and as Michael said, maybe I'll be wrong here, but I think also it's too soon, and even with the original 3DS, I think that the number of models that were released were just too close to one another. There weren't a lot of major changes from one model to the next within the DS. And I hope that Nintendo doesn't do the same thing with 3DS. I mean, with the release of so many new version or designs like the Zelda model and so on, mm-hmm. it's the same device, just different a different look and to it and so on. You know, I hope that they don't. But you know, if they do, you know, hopefully it does include some things, just like Thomas said. You know, better 3D on the device. You know, I would like to see a second analog stick, if possible, but it's not necessary at this time.
Right.
No.
Yeah. No. The I don't know. One thing that Thomas said that I didn't even think about would be a bigger model with larger screens. That would be what I would want first and foremost, as opposed to, I don't know. No, actually, I take that back. What I would want first and foremost is an improved battery life, and then
and then
larger screens perhaps, and kind of a bigger unit to make my hands feel a little bit happier.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I remember back when the system came out. Everyone was complaining about the battery life, and I thought, big deal. I'll just play tethered. I don't care. I never take it out of the house anyway. But then I have to say, the battery life. I'm eating my words now.
Yeah.
I wish, because I don't always want to play tethered. I want to move around in my house,
mm-hmm.
and I am using it on the go now, which I didn't think I would be doing so soon. And the battery life is. I can't use the 3D.
Yeah, no, that's right. You have to – it's either battery life or 3D. You kind of got to choose one of the two.
Yeah, and it's not just for the when you turn the 3D on, the graphics get crisper. It's not about the 3D necessarily. So it's nice to use, and you can't use it all the time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think that's – I'm sure Nintendo is figuring out a way to improve the battery life, be it a bigger battery or, you know, processors that use less juice or whatever. So yeah, I think that's going to be one of their first the first things that they think about with the new 3DS. So yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm gonna take the last question, and I'm actually gonna combine the last two questions because they're kind of short. So the first one was how much will the Wii U cost? Just your pre-E3 guess, of course. And are any of you fans of the Fire Emblem series? So I'll take up the first one. The Wii U cost, that's going to be an interesting one, and that's not something we're going to learn next week at E3. Nintendo already said that they're not going to announce price or date quite yet. So I'm thinking, gosh, I don't see how they can release it anywhere less than $300, but $300 to $350 is probably what I'm going to guess for this console, just because of all the technology that's packed in it and whatnot. I could be wrong. It could be less, but that would be my guess.
I would love to see it be less, but I think you're right. I think $300 to $350 is where it's going to be, and I think that people will be okay with that overall. Obviously, less is better, but if it's any more, if it's more closer to the $400 range, I think that's going to possibly hurt some sales.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo would definitely have problems with that, especially if the rumors are true that it's not going to be quite as cutting edge on the graphics side of things. But, yeah, it's got to hit that. I think it has to hit in that little sweet spot right there.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. I also agree with that. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to say $249, between $249 and $349. That's my range.
Okay. So you think that it could launch at the same price that we did?
It might be a stretch, but I want to be optimistic about this part. That's just me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be $249, but I doubt it will be. So I'm just going to say $249. But I agree with the between $300 and $350 range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why do you think that it would be at $249? Is that just being super optimistic, or do you think that that Nintendo has it up their sleeves to release it at that point?
Well, the thing is, one, I'm optimistic, and two, about the graphics. I mean, it's not like cutting edge, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Between the PlayStation 3 and Xbox, so I think that might like lower it, but I'm just super optimistic. That's mostly me.
Okay, well that's great. Let's shoot for that, Nintendo. $249. What do you think, Michael?
I'm all for the $249 deal.
Yeah,
but I think I'm pretty confident we won't be spending any more than $350.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be – I think that'll be it. Figure the Wii started at $250, right?
You did.
And Wii U is a bit more powerful. It's got the controller. I'd say $350. Maybe it'll go up to $400, but it certainly won't go above.
I certainly hope it doesn't hit that 400 price. I mean, I'll still buy it. I won't be happy about it. I might not buy as many games at launch, but, you know, I mean, I'm a huge Nintendo fan, so that's just what I do, I guess. I paid $250 for the 3DS, so why the heck not for the Wii U?
Oh, yeah.
I think it definitely has to include some very, very good introductory games on it. They can't slack there. I mean, if it hits the 400, it can't be like a Wii Sports game. I mean, Wii Sports was a pretty awesome game, and I still play it every so often. But, I mean, it's got to have something pretty awesome to begin with.
Right. Oh, hey, imagine if, like, they go back to what they did with the NES and just included a pack-in Mario game with every console. I mean, that would be... I would pay $400 for that just because of the Mario. You know, I mean, you know, you're gonna get your contents worth out of that.
I think exactly. You know, if when it was like 400. Sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. I think that it would be awesome to see a new Mario packed in with a Duck Hunt you know combo pack there. That would be pretty awesome.
Oh man, that would bring back memories. Let me tell you.
Be amazing.
Great.
I think I want to see like a Zelda. Packed in, was that I want to pay $400.
If it was $400, you would want it to be Zelda. Okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a timeless classic. I mean, it's a good introductory game for the Wii U.
Right. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they're gonna do with the Wii U with Zelda. I mean, we don't really know anything about. I mean, obviously, there's a Zelda in development, but I wonder what unique features of the console they're going to utilize with that.
It's going to be different, I know that.
So, on to his next question. Are you all Fire Emblem fans? Have you ever played Fire Emblem on GBA or even on the GameCube, anything like that?
I played a GBA, but I've not finished it. Like, I played the Fire Emblem itself and Fire Emblem the Sega Stone, but for some reason, I did not finish it. Maybe because I think I lost the game, but I think one of these days I might go back and, you know, maybe download the, like, the ROM, play on my computer.
Right.
Who knows?
The older, for like the GBA, the older games, yeah. And I never played the Fire Emblem on the NES because those ones never came to the States, but those ones would be kind of interesting to go back to if I could read Japanese.
Definitely. And, you know, I've never actually played them. I've always wanted to pick them up, and it seems like whenever I'm at a, you know, a game store, if there's one there, I think, I'll get it next time. And, you know, someday I hope to play it, but so far, no, I unfortunately have not.
Mm-hmm. Have you played any Fire Emblem, Michael?
I own Shadow Dragon, which is a retelling of the first game, I believe, with Marth, but I played it for an hour when I got it, and I haven't played it since. Right. Not because I don't like it, just I played other things.
Yeah.
So I definitely have a great amount of respect for the series, and I enjoyed what I played. And if it comes to the 3DS here, I'm sure it will. It'll be I'll definitely be buying it.
Yeah, the 3DS game has already come out in Japan, actually. It's Fire Emblem, gosh, I think it's
Awakening.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, and that one, kind of going back to our DLC topic, I know that they're going to be starting to release DLC for that one, and one of them is going to be like Marth for 250 yen in Japan, and then they're going to start releasing like Roy character for another 250, and I don't know if they've released any other DLC plans besides that, but that's kind of interesting too.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, great. Well, that's just about it for reader mail, which means that's just about it for our podcast. So, guys, really, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast today. Sorry that I was having some difficulties. I'm going to go home and call my internet service provider again and yell and try and figure out why I don't have internet.
But, good luck with
that. Yeah. Thanks again, guys. Do you have any closing comments to add before we get out of here?
Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Tell us the YouTube channel so they know what it is.
It'll be youtube.com/GamerDigest21.
Excellent.
One word.
Be sure to do that, folks. Michael, any closing comments?
I'd just like to thank you for having me on the show. This is my first podcast, and I hope to come back.
Oh, definitely. I know that unfortunately, Harrison couldn't be here today, but hopefully we can get a huge podcast, maybe five people. It'd be unprecedented.
Yes, it would be.
Any closing comments, Scott?
No, I would just like to, you know, thank thank Michael and Thomas for coming on at such short notice. You know, it's early Saturday morning, and I know that you guys probably have plans. So thank you for joining us, and you know, it's great to have some different perspectives.
Definitely. So yeah, with that, just be sure to keep reading infendo.com and send us your emails for reader mail at tips@infendo.com. So then we can have it on the podcast next time. I'm hoping to have a podcast next week if you guys are interested. While I'm in Los Angeles, maybe on Wednesday evening or Tuesday evening, even after the Nintendo press conference, so we can discuss that. We'll touch base on that a little bit more, but hopefully we can get that together. And make sure to follow all of us on Twitter. I'm Infendo_Eugene. Scott, tell us yours, Scott.
I am Essel Pratt, ESSELPRATT.
And do either of you two have a Twitter, Michael or Thomas?
No.
No Twitters for you guys. Maybe next time we'll get you some Twitters. So, that's it for the show, folks. Thank you for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.
All right, see you then.
Bye-bye.